That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning to the remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from a breezy Radio Ranch this morning. Saturday, December 11th, 2021. Time just rolls on. The end of the calendar year is right around the corner, and it'll be here before you know it. But we welcome you here this morning, and we've got a full crew for you this morning. And Brother Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Zach, right around the corner, good morning to you as well.
Good morning.
And right here local, Jason, thanks for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we say good morning again to you, the remnant, and we thank you for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open this morning. The program, Pastor came up with it many years ago, an opportunity on Saturday morning to get together with like-minded Christians, almost like sitting around the old campfire with your coffee and their Bibles, and being able to talk about things and discuss maybe current events, maybe what we've read in the Bible this week, maybe what we've seen in the news, or what's happened. Because that has almost been lost in our society. It used to be a thing that people did. They got together and talked about things. And Pastor saw the need for it. And I can tell you, I'm just glad that that we do it on... It's 7 a.m. Mountain Time now instead of 7 a.m. Eastern Time, because when we started, that's what we did, and that was 5 a.m. out here, and that was a little different, but it's a beautiful morning here. Don't quite have the sunrise, but this time of the year, boy, we get the beautiful, beautiful colors, the reds and the oranges, and if you could look to the east from where I'm sitting, it looks to be a beautiful sunrise and a beautiful day. Well, Jason, would you open us up in prayer before we really get going this morning?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. We pray, Father, that you assist us and that you just guide us and direct us in all that we do. We pray, Father, that you tend to the remnant's needs across this land. We cry out to you, God save America again. We ask these things in your name, in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, one of the recurring themes, I think, that we've been talking about lately is the crazy weather. We've talked about the extreme fires that California's had, the extreme drought that we're in, half the groundwater being delivered this year over last year, only half. Brother Paul's mentioned several times the snow in South America and in Africa, and just that it's all creation groaning out at the abominations in the land, groaning for the revealing of the sons of God, the sons of men. And we see the same thing again. Woke up this morning to reports of massive tornadoes in Kansas and Arkansas, reports of over 50 dead. That's just what they know so far. And so Remnant will, we will say, it comes to mind that when Jesus mentioned about the tower falling and saying, do you think that because it didn't fall on you that you're more righteous? And I think we have to maybe keep that in mind, that we have devastation in the nation. We do every day, but we've become used to it, not just from weather, but, over 750 have been killed, murdered in Chicago this year, and there's another dozen cities that are setting records as well. It is a hard time. It is. But I do encourage you to, for those that were his, if any of his were involved in this and impacted by this, that the peace of God is on them, and that if they weren't his, that those families turn to him in this time of sorrow. I did see it was one of the things, I don't know if anybody else saw, was a Amazon warehouse. And I don't know if you've seen, I guess everybody has seen Amazon warehouses. They're like 10 football fields just all bundled together. They're huge. And I guess one of those was hit and pretty much destroyed. And I can't help but think, and I think you mentioned something, Paul, about Italy. What was that? I'll give that to you. Something about Italy suing Amazon?
Yeah, they're suing them for over $1 billion for the destruction they've done to their economy. And they're doing it here in America, too. They're destroying local businesses. This whole pandemic is about a transfer of wealth, and it's going on there, and people are falling right in for it. They want everything delivered to their house. They want to be pampered more, but it's going to bite them. So I highly advocate not buying anything through Amazon, because they have that's their product. Their goal is to destroy the local economy and take it over. So when your neighbor that has a small business needs a profit, don't be afraid to buy too cheap and spend. Invest in your neighbor. Quit worrying about getting everything so doggone cheap. We have to take care of ourselves. Babylon's going down. I'll let her go.
Amen.
Well, and it used to be that Amazon used to be the cheapest place to get stuff, and now if you start looking around and people actually start shopping, as Amazon got more popular, the prices went up on a lot of their stuff. And, a lot of their stuff that you would normally order thinking you're going to get a good deal on or something like that, it's not even about price. It's about convenience, because the prices, you do some shopping and you can get it a lot cheaper from somewhere else.
Amen. Well, guys, we've got
the thing. Go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead, Paul. You had a thought there.
This isn't exactly a Ben's price, it's
I understand that's a moral issue, but I know that a lot of people got sucked in by it at one time, and that's what kind of made it grow so fast, is because the price was an issue for the masses.
Well, those ungodly sheep sometimes. and then they hook you.
Yep.
That's right.
Inconvenience, yep.
Well, guys, we got a caller. Let's go to the caller. Caller, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. This is George.
Good morning, George.
I just wondered if you could please give me the number that I could call in and not listen while you're and disrupt your show.
Yeah, they change it around. Let me see if I've got the new one.
Thank you, sir.
Let me see. Yeah, let's try this one. I've got a 712. Do you have that number?
712-775-5613. All right. I want to wish you all a really good day. Rejoice always. I'll get off the line so you can take more calls and continue with your show. Thank you very much, Brother Richard.
All right, George. Thank you. Yeah, that, you know, Walmart was that way. Back when Sam Walton was alive and they got started, I remember down in Central Florida when the first Walmart opened up down there. And, you know, and it touted jobs in America. You know, I can remember they'd have, you know, big pallets of things out in the middle and whatever it was, maybe a sweater or a pair of shoes or a pliers or whatever it was. And it was, they would advertise this product, you know, created 412 jobs in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, or whatever it was. And it was made in America stuff, and it started out, and maybe it was all a marketing ploy. It sure changed, but it was sure different than it is today. Now, I'm going back 40 years, you know, when we got our first ones down in Central Florida. But Walmart was that way, you know. And they closed down the hardware stores and the J.C. Fields and the Woolworths and the, you know, the little five and dimes and what. It was certainly a shift in the American economy. It was. And then before you knew it, the price changed. Well, we've got another caller. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Eric from Pennsylvania.
Good morning, Eric.
I called you a couple of weeks ago for prayer.
Yes.
Can I do a praise report?
Yes.
The COVID came and left. The brethren, one brother came out with chicken soup, homemade chicken soup, and I lived on hot chicken soup and roosting eggs. That's all I did. And I tested again, and I fully recovered from. I don't have COVID anymore. It's been 2 weeks now.
Well, that's good to hear. Praise the Lord.
That's one. I also had the eyesight problem.
Yes.
And your prayers, the Lord is really pushing me through. I can actually read a clock. A couple weeks ago, it was nothing but dark. I had a bedroom light all night. I didn't even know it.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And people are telling me, he says, God has big plans for you. I mean, huge plans.
Amen.
So, I just let you know, and also, too, I'm a private retailer, you know, like hometown retailer, pet foods. And I run this business myself, and I'm blind. And my customers are very supportive of me, and they don't want me to close down.
Amen. That's good to hear. That's good.
Oh, yeah,
hear.
It's good to hear in this economy.
Amen.
I know Amazon affects me a lot, and Chewy did, too. So, but there's the ones that go for local, and they are really supportive of me.
Good to hear.
That's about all I like to say, but I'm going to have a praise report with some friends tonight, too.
All right, Eric. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, and we rejoice with you, brother. Amen. Good to hear that. Good to hear that. Yeah, our local feed store is that way. He's an independent, and he has really shifted in what he sells. Things like dog food and cat food and things for dogs and cats have really replaced as far as his mainstay, because he gets a lot of the local people support for those things, and I think that's a good thing. You know, that our local feed store, they support local softball teams and they turn and put their money back in the economy. You know, it's a husband and wife with two little girls, and they live here in the community, and they spend their money in the community. You know, we've seen the loss of that with the Walmarts and now the Amazons, and it's hard to feel sorry for them when they get hit with something, I guess.
All the big box stores, all the profit goes to the headquarters. That's the problem. It takes it out of the community. They provide jobs and a lot of stuff they do, but as far as the extra money goes to the headquarters, and they buy us out. I talked to a man this week that Fred Meyer, they have a big, in fact, I think Walmart patterned their store after the Meyers here in my area. And he was happy with his little store. He says, but if I don't grow, I will get gobbled up. And that's a big enterprise right now, and it's they live on their own money. They don't, it's not a public corporation or nothing like that, but that's the thing. When you start making money, you've got to reinvest it, or the tax system takes it away, and they don't like little businesses. So this guy actually heard him say that. He's, I'm very happy with my store that I had where it started. He says, but if I don't get bigger, I'm going to get gobbled up. So that was his mentality, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment you'd like to make this morning, we are coming to you live this December 11th, 2021. And, it's almost wintertime. Late fall, we've got winter coming up. What is it? Got a next 91st days is right around the corner, December 17th. And that's kind of the switch from fall to winter. We do suggest you, if you can take that day as a Sabbath, we recommend it. And it's not, in the summertime, we're getting ready for winter. And in the fall and wintertime, we should be thinking about our gardens next year. Of course, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, but that too has been a topic that's come up several times in the last year or two, with many more people going to gardens and stuff. Just got my neighbor sent a note with a picture and said, "Hey, I just got my catalog in the mail," and that day I had too, and so we hope that you're doing that. There's many places out there that you can get, open pollinated, untreated, non-hybrid, non-GMO seeds. Seed Savers Exchange puts out a great catalog, and they carry an abundance. I got some seeds from them this past year, and they're not a big factory warehouse. They're not. They are just that. They are somewhat of a smaller outfit, although they've got probably 25 employees. And anyway, that's just a recommendation as you're getting ready, something to get help you, look and plan and think of. That used to be a big thing, was planning your garden and looking and seeing. And so that's just one. You can look them up online, Seed Savers Exchange, and they'll be glad to send you a catalog. But I've got friends that have ordered from them and had very good success with their seeds, and again, it's all non-GMO, non-hybrid, good stuff. So just a plug to put that out there as you're is you're hopefully going to plan for that next year.
Well, if you buy open pollinator, you can also save your seeds and you can become independent totally. So and that's the hybridization thing, is they want to make you buy their seeds. So,
boy, we've seen that through the whole, not just in home gardens, but in the entire agricultural industry in America here. We get like I forget what it's called, Progressive Farmer or something like that. I don't know why they send it to me. We don't pay for it, but you see these farming magazines and everything is hybrid. This new seed will guarantee this. This will hear more, you know, bushels per acre, more this resistant, that resistant. But yeah, you sure got to buy it every year. And you're sure dependent on them.
There's a book, Quality Agriculture by John Kemp, that's really a good book, and he's interviewing all kinds of different people. But in there's one of these people, I don't remember which one exactly, if you get the bricks in a plant above 14, you will not have any insect or fungus. It's a really good book, and you get it from Acres USA. That's where I got it, but anyway, you can get it. Probably even from Amazon. Don't do it.
We're not going there, though, right?
But no, but it's just a really good book. He interviews all these different people and some very, you know, people that come out of college. One of them was educated in college, and he's probably like my age now or a little younger, and he says, well, I never really knew how dumb I was, you know. And that's what your college degree actually amounts to. The real life out here is what we learn from, so...
You know, it's funny. My wife she just got a book, and it was on, it's all about plants, and she was just reading, just this morning, she was telling me about it. And I can't remember the name of the plant. It's a flower, and I'm pretty sure it's native here to the North American continent. But if you plant this specific type of flower, it attracts pests, and then these pests, like, they'll lay eggs on, like, they'll either bore into it. He was telling me about it, but I didn't really think that we were going to go this way this morning. But what happens, these pest insects will sit there and lay their eggs and in these plants, because these pest insects are so attracted to it. And when their offspring hatches from this specific plant, not only they are stunted, and it causes them to be sterile. So God has all kinds of different ways to, you know, try to keep the balance going. And that's why, like, a lot of this I wouldn't say it's new agriculture, but like Gabe Brown with this multi-species cover crop, a lot of that stuff takes place and people don't even understand that it's happening. And with what I've been hearing as far as like the conventional way of farming, their fertilizer that these farmers are so dependent on, I guess the price on it is just gone through the roof. We might be staring a famine right in the face within the next 12 to 24 months and not even realize it. So, you know, people are going to have to get pretty clever and, you know, figure some stuff out. It's very possible. I don't know. But God always has a way. And, you know, really the reason why this nation's in the situation that is because they haven't been paying attention to God or his tools. And, you know, that old cover cropping might be looking pretty good here not too far down the road.
Amen.
Well, it's already here because people are dying with their mouths full. There's a famine in the land because of the hybridization. There's none of the non-nutrient dense. And the hospital are just being overrun with people because the food chain is empty, even though they've got 100 bushels of whatever. And but the thing of it is, this is the way nature works. Every fungus, every insect has a purpose. And if they're in your farm, you should be studying why they're there, because if they're healthy, they will not go. I've seen Japanese beetle leave blueberry fields overnight just from changing the nature of that plant, and they don't like it. I've seen a crabapple tree. I treated this tree, and I stood there and watched, and the Japanese beetle started dancing and left that tree. They want no part of it. They're there for a reason. See, now the apples that we ate, the billions and billions of dollars spent on apple sprays for primarily fungus, that apple should just let it be rot. It's not fit to eat, really, but even though it looks good.
Amen. You know, something as simple as, and Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you mentioned it to me a couple years ago, marigolds in your garden. Something as simple as that, putting marigolds, what with tomato plants and peppers and things like that. I think I've got that right. That you know, what a pest deterrent that just something like that is, and you get a great color as well.
Yeah, and is what you're doing is you're balancing it out, and you actually get healthier plants when you plant these multiple species and stuff in there. That's what I've noticed over the years. This year my wife went and picked a lot of apples on different apple trees, and we found, you know, there were some trees that hadn't been touched or hadn't been picked in years and years that were off the beaten path, and we didn't think these apples were going to be any good, but they'd just been left alone, and they were absolutely some of the most amazing sweet apples that with no bugs in them. It was just shocking how we expected them to be, you know, sour apples, and these were just some of the sweetest, perfect apples that you could actually imagine. And we got boxes and boxes and boxes of them, and it was pretty impressive. But it was something that just it hadn't been disturbed, and nobody had done anything with. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of neat to see how sometimes some of that stuff works.
Amen.
Well, you know, whatever's growing on that soil, whether it's your lawn or field, whatever, is every plant is trying to make a correction. So we don't want that, but we go kill it. But those every plant, whether you got quack grass or whatever it is, that's trying to make a correction. But yet we go spray it, you know, and get it off our bag. But we never looked at why it's there. So, yeah, this creation is quite something. You really got to, you know, get down to how it actually worked. You know, Gabe Brown's A Light on the Hill. But that could be, you know, I read that book, and I could see how that could be done in orchards. There's not going to be any cattle in there, but just the mowing thing will stress that thing and produce roots. In my strawberry patch in the middle where I would mow the mower, I could not pull those weeds at all because they had a bigger root. But over in the row where the strawberry was, they come right out easy because, you see what you're doing, you stimulate rat roots when that cow eats that or you mow it or whatever. I mean, this can be done in every aspect of life. It has to be done or we're not going to be here.
And, yeah, you know, Zach, you mentioned the possibility of staring a famine. Staring at a famine in the next 12 to 24 months. We've mentioned it before, and the reports are the water, just looking at it from the amount of water that's available, it makes that a distinct possibility, at least here in the West and the Southwest. You know, they're reporting. Saw this in November in our Fence Post magazine, a 50% reduction in groundwater for this year versus last year. And then going in, of course, to the beginning of the 2022 year. And a 50% reduction in groundwater, that's massive. And, I mean, that should be, you know, a sackcloth wearing repenting time like Nineveh experienced, but it's just ignored. It's just ignored. Nobody, you know, it's not put out, and you know, but old Jesse Smollett, you know, we gotta talk about him for days and days, and everything, you know, that the media puts out. That's what's in everybody's mind, and I think that the last couple years, as we've seen shortages of certain items in the grocery stores, in the Costco's. You know, Costco is paying more and more for their people to work there, and the things that they have, it's certainly less and less nutritious, but it's more and more, just like you said, Paul, and like our pastor taught, that our people are approaching obesity obesity is at the greatest level it's ever been in this country, and they're starving. They're starving because they're not getting the right food, and the foods that they're getting, they it doesn't have the nutrition in it anymore, and the price anymore. I don't know if you guys go to the grocery store, but I get in there about once a week, and it's like everything is doubled. You go try to buy a not organic, just a regular green bell pepper here in the store, and it's almost $2 a piece. A piece for a bell pepper. And everything else has gone up with it. And so, you know, it for people to survive, they're going to have to support local and take a little responsibility back on themselves to physically survive, as well as just like we have to do that to spiritually survive.
Well, the people are out there. They're demanding organic. I don't know if organic's any better than the other, but they're asking for better food. There's a population out there that really understands that there's something wrong with the food. So, you know, I know big growers. They got told by the processor, "You're going to grow some organic for us because the demand is so great out there." You know, I think it's deeper than that. It's spiritual, but people are looking for better food, generally speaking.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, and we'd be glad to take your call this morning. And let's see, what else did I have here?
Well, you know, I know the apple industry pretty good because I know people that are in it. And the movement of apples is very slow, and there's a really short crop. Now, I got to thinking about it. The price of the apple in the store is ungodly, you know. So they're not moving. People can't afford it, can't buy it. So, but it's really slow. And I hear them all, well, the movement's so slow, but that's why. Price of beef on the rail is not any higher than it ever was, but in the store it's just ungodly. We're being gouged. They're taking advantage of us. So,
yes. Yes. And the like you said, the price of beef on the rail, oh my gosh. Last, again, that Fence Post magazine, they show the, you know, the results from the local cattle auction. And 500 pounders, 485 pound cast steers, just a few weeks ago, we're going $1.75 a pound. That's live weight, you know. And they, but even then, when they market it, it's $175 per hundred weight. Well, you just move the decimal; it's $1.75 a pound. And of course, once that animal gets up, you have to go, you know, once it's 1,800 to 2,000 pounds, however it is when you butcher it, you know, that weight, you get about 60%. There's about 40% waste, so you have 60% from live to hanging weight, and then another 60% from hanging weight to freezer weight. And so, but even at those numbers, $1.75 a pound at the market, I can remember years ago when Pastor was still alive, and we took calves to market and got over about the same size calves and got over $2 a pound for that, you know, same weight steer. And I'm talking over 15 years ago. And so, you know, what else is the same price as it was 15 years ago or lower? Not much. But you try to produce beef, and it's not a free market economy. How about that? It's just not. And it's ridiculous that it's like that, and so it's I think it's all coming to a head. These are, you know, different spokes in this wheel, different things that each and every one of us are seeing, different aspects of this this broken Babylon that's going down. And I think this, you know, the latest from the administration that's up in D.C., this Build Back Better, I think of it as Build Babylon Back Better. That's their plan. And I don't think it's going to work.
Thank goodness.
Amen.
Well, you know, we talked about. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, you go.
No, you go. I'm waiting.
Well, the other night we talked about Jeremiah 42, and you back up and read where Jeremiah was put in prison for telling the truth, and he was put in a cistern for telling the truth. And in 42, Judah came and asked Jeremiah to pray for him what they should do. So Jeremiah prayed to God, and he got an answer. 10 days later, he gave it to him. He says, you stay where you're at, and I'll take care of you. If you go to Egypt, I'll destroy you. Well, they chose to go to Egypt, and they got destroyed because they didn't listen to God and a prophet and stuff like that. And they, anyway, it's quite a story. You should read that whole area. But I forgot how Jeremiah was persecuted for telling the truth, and that's what happens. You tell the truth today, people don't want to hear it for the most part. And they don't want to. And then further on down the line, and Israel came, he said, well, Israel will be preserved, but you will be chastised for your sins. So that's my words. But you read that whole area, it's quite a story. And it's, you know, just replace Egypt for Washington, D.C. or whatever. They have nothing to offer. I mean, absolutely nothing to offer except confusion and destruction.
Well, if you sit there and you think about that, like what you just said there, Paul, you know, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to the word of God. And, you know, you go to all these pulpits that are across this land, and the people are taught to not to listen to the word of God. It's like in Matthew 5 where Jesus said, don't think I have come to get rid of the law or the prophets. Basically is what he was saying. Don't think I'm getting rid of the word that came before me.
Right.
You know, well, what are the people taught now? They're taught to, like, to completely disregard it. And it's the exact same thing. So when you sit there and you tell them the truth, I mean, they've had it pounded into their heads so for so long, you know, it's difficult for them to believe that. And even you can sit there and point it out, like in Matthew 5, they just can't believe it because it's been pounded into their head. Like, wait a minute, I have to go back and apply all those principles into my life, into my family's life, into the lives of our community. I mean, you know, we really sit there and think about it. Like, we are in a mess. We are in a unbelieving mess is what we are. Why? It's because of lack of knowledge. I mean, I could go on and on, but, you know, so it's all by design that's from the pulpits. I mean, they've led our people astray. And when you point it out, it's difficult for them to believe what the truth is because, like, they've had it pounded into their head for so long, and it's going to take God following through with his will, Deuteronomy 28 and everybody, in order to get them to listen. That's my opinion. So, you know, we here as the remnant, we see the signs and we see the direction that we're going. But, I mean, reality is, yeah, I mean, are the grocery stores as full? No. But I'm still not that uncomfortable. You know, who's going to be doing the paying? Who's going to be doing the hardcore paying? It might be our children. It might be our grandchildren. And it's our job to divert from that direction. You know, I was listening to some Christian, I wouldn't even call them Christian, but, like, they're all talking about how bad things are going to be. Well, why? Because they're teaching people not the gospel and what's going to happen. God's going to kick our butts. It's inevitable. You know, it's because of the improper teaching that's going on in this land. And, I mean, so we either have a choice. We're like at a crossroad right now. We can either teach properly, and save this nation, or we can go down the destruction path. And the thing of it is, I don't think it's very possible. I don't know. We might be right at the brink, but like the generation before me, I mean, they had it good. And they lived in Babylon. They disobeyed God. They got all the goods. They got all the farmland. They got all that. They have all the property now. And, you know, what are they doing with it? I mean, I don't know. But they're not setting it up the way it should be, because I don't think they feel the necessity. Does any of that make any sense? They're not uncomfortable. And it's more of a kick-the-can mentality down the road. And we have to get away from that. We have to, or else our children and grandchildren are going to pay severely. So it's up to us. I was at a governor rally at this dude's house earlier this week, and you know they were sitting there talking about the amount of local delegate seats that are not even occupied. Why? Because people don't know what to do. And they don't even understand that the delegate seats are open, and they don't understand the amount of power that these delegates, and they're sitting there unfilled. You know, we can't sit there and let these guys, these few politicians that are decent, do all of our battles for us. We have to engage 100%. And, you know, so it is. We as a community as a whole have let this get into this position. It's our fault, and we need to change it. If we don't change it, we're not going to pay that hard. It's our children and grandchildren that are going to pay. That's what I think about all that.
Well, I'd take a little bit of issue on you about these people had it so good. I'll tell you, they were deceived. They built their empires in Babylon, and the Bible talks about the good old days. Who said they were so good? You know what I mean? We can't go back. We're going out. We're being purified. The dross is be drawn off, and that's good. But the people that built their empires in Babylon, I mean, they've been deceived, and they're hard to talk to because they say thinking that gain is godliness. Well, God has blessed me. Guess what? That's me. What? Well, you got 50,000 bushels of junk to food to feed the people. You know, who said they were so good? We were going down the wrong road for a long time. And I don't mean to correct you, Zach. You're actually right. I mean, what I mean, but I just sometimes talk about the good old days. God said, who said they were so good? You know, in that area where I was talking about where Nebuchadnezzar, he was bringing Babylon on these people, and God said he was my tool. The evil people are our tool. What's going on is going to correct our people, because this Babylon is going to be purged from us. And the deception that we've lived under, you know, so how many people in the past, if they could just live to retirement, they had it made. They didn't think about eternity, you know. They just wanted to get to retirement. No, but that ain't far enough for me, because retirement goes fast as the rest of my life did.
Amen to that. Well, guys, we've got a caller. He's been waiting. Let's bring the caller on. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. I wanted to make a comment about what you guys were talking about.
Sure.
Back in the early 80s, I read a book called Cycles of War by R.E. McMaster. And in the last chapter, if I remember correctly, he talked about the theory of biorelativity. Biorelativity was the effect of that was on the environment by the mindset of the people, in like a hive mind. Well, kind of goes along with today, because our country is basically falling away from God, and our mindset is causing these disasters around us. It comes from God, but. I thought that was good, because it was kind of went along with the Bible, is what that guy talked about 40 years ago.
I think it's absolute. It makes perfect sense. You know, think about 2 Chronicles 7:14. What does God say that he will do when he hears from heaven? When his people repent and return to him, he will do two things, not just one thing, not just forgive their sins, but also heal their land. And that makes perfect sense. Because that's, you know, when the people have turned away from God and have a mind, and like you said, Paul, they've been deceived. You know, we have been deceived for generations. The land cries out.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. Thanks. Great comments.
In other words, what that caller just was saying is the people are actually facing the misfortune on the land. Is that am I reading what he's saying?
Yeah, of their sin, because of their attitude, and because of their sin.
And that goes back to lack of knowledge, whether it's generational or today.
Yes.
But years ago, there's a place north of here, a ways, about an hour, and there's an agriculture community up along Lake Michigan, and then you go inland, and there's a national forest, and this guy said to me, all these rains are jumping right over the agricultural land, and it's raining in the national forest. Now, this is my opinion, and then I had another experience not too long ago. We sprayed some soybeans, and they had dew on them, and the ones right next to them didn't. See, there's a connection between our crops and the sky, and I would have to say that agriculture is affecting our weather more than anything, because there's that connection has been broken. You know, hybridization, the soil, and everything like that, but that has been broken, and the land cries out. I mean, I think it all ties together myself.
Amen.
Well, I would agree with you. When I was down in Arkansas this last year, I made several trips over there, and the lady that spent a lot of time talking with, we drove around and looked at some of the countryside on a side-by-side, and every place that they, every one of these places that they came in and they completely clear-cut, like, you know, where there was 1,000 acres or 500 acres, and they clear-cut and cut all the trees down, next thing you know is all the ponds. They had all these springs and all these ponds that the cattle would drink out of. They all dried up and went away. The people that, you know, left the patches of, you know, tried to control, like, you know, the berries and different stuff, and did control where they left patches of trees and everything like that, they all had their ponds left. And she went over to one of the neighbors that was wanting to tear down and cut down the rest of his trees so he could have more grazing for cattle. And she kept telling him, she's like, if you do that, all your ponds are going to dry up. And sure enough, he did it, and all his ponds dried up.
Well, that vegetation,
it's a wonderful
and stuff like that.
Go ahead, Zach.
So, like you said, you know, I mean, it's God knows and knows what he's doing. You know, there's you look at the way that things are changing, and you see what's happening out in California with these smash and grabs. That's another topic, but just absolutely just crazy the way that they've had, you know, 80 looters that have come in, and they're hitting the Apple stores and the Nordstrom's, and they're hitting these big department stores, and that's who's getting hit by them. And leaving, coming in a matter of minutes, having nothing left in the stores at all. Out there, the police department, chief of police, he came out on the news and said, do not come here. If you want to be, if you're a tourist or thinking about visiting, we cannot protect you. Do not come here. And, it's, you know, these businesses, they're just coming in, talking about 80 men, 40 men in one and 80 in another, happening at the same time all across the city. Every piece of glass broken, every single item in the store completely gone in a matter of minutes. It's you know, just insanity. But it shows you what the times that we're living in. We've got we're just living in different times. I mean, we've had these things that have happened in the past, but I don't believe that we've ever had them to this magnitude. I know there's been smash and grabs. I mean, I've been hearing about them. I had a friend of mine that was that worked at a mall, and he was sharing footage of these smash and grabs with me years and years ago. And it was just it was crazy to watch it, because even, you know, 20 years ago when this stuff was going on, you didn't see it on the news. And now you're seeing this in these video footage of this stuff. It's just absolutely amazing. And they're not putting hardly any of it on the news. Actually, there, you know, like AOC came out and she denied that there was even existence of these smash and grabs, she didn't even believe that they were happening, and left everybody basically speechless after she said that, because everybody was like, well, she's an idiot, and she is. But, Very, very interesting.
I don't know if you've ever heard of a person, Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper. I think if you know anything about firearms or shooting, you've heard of Jeff Cooper. And I've got a quote, I think, that fits with that. He said, if violent crime is to be curbed, it is only the intended victim who can do that. The felon does not fear the police, and he fears neither judge nor jury. Therefore, what he must be taught to fear is his victim. And see, that's been lost today. It's lawlessness. We are in that time that good is called evil, evil is called good, that the murderer, the child rapist, the robber has more rights than the victim. And this Babylon is more concerned with the ungodly than with the victim. We've seen that in our courts. We've seen that the Waukesha parade that the idiot drove through. Same thing. Oh, we can't. This man, beat up people and he did all these things. Well, we can't hold him in jail. We can't do anything about him because it's we're concerned for his rights. And so they turn him loose to just go do more and more. And it is absolute insanity. But when good is called evil, evil is called good. What's the Bible say? My prophets prophesy falsely, and the people love to have it so.
Well, we've been with programs since the 50s and the 60s. You go back and watch the Westerns in the 50s and 60s, and they were programmers ready. Don't take the law into your own hands. Call Mr. Dillon, whoever. They didn't want us to take the law into our own hands. We have to execute. We got to carry out the law ourselves because no one else is going to do it. Washington, D.C. is in a spell. We've known it for years. They are controlled by those people. Our news media is controlled by our enemies, and that's why they put out what they want. They want to constantly program us to not realize what's going on right before our very eyes. But we're not going to get away from it because it's going to knock on your door real close.
Amen. Just like I remember Pastor saying years ago that, as the Bible talks about, flee to the mountains. And there were people that tried that. It doesn't work. And you can't flee to small-town America. I've had people call the ministry, call here and say, I'm in Illinois, and I'm just tired of things, and I'm ready to move out there. I'm ready to move out there and just, be with you like-minded people in small-town America and on and on and on. And there's nowhere else to go. This is it. We are quickly having our back pushed up against the wall.
Yeah, there's no place to go. What are you going to do, run out west in the drought?
Yeah. Yeah, that's just it. You look at west and even small town America. What have we seen in small town America? The opioid crisis and the meth and the crack and the and that's impacted small town America as much as it has Detroit and Denver. You can't run away from it. There's no getting away from it. There's facing it. And repenting and returning to God, and that's all there is. That is the only saving grace.
Zach went hunting up in northern Quebec somewhere. He gets up there, and the place is full of queers. So there ain't no place to go. No. He can tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. We went up caribou hunting. Oh shoot, this has been probably 15 years ago, and we stopped at a restaurant there, and one of the guys that I was there with, he had been there several times, and he's like, yeah, and we stopped at this restaurant. He's like, yeah, all these guys in here, they're all homosexuals. And, and I got to looking outside, and I mean, there's some good looking broads walking down, up and down the street. I'm like, you're sitting there having breakfast with these guys are having breakfast with their boyfriends. And I just, you're not going to get away from it. You're just not going to get away from it. And, it's repent or perish. That's what it comes down to. And, the good thing about all them guys is at least they're not going to reproduce, that's the only decent thing that comes out of them type of situations.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're all but out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. Thanks for taking time out of your busy days to share your comments and share that godly wisdom. And I know it's an encouragement to the remnant. It's an encouragement to me. And so thanks so much. And remnant, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. And if you'd like to do that, you can join us starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. That's 7:30 on the West Coast. At scripturesforamerica.org. You can come to church with us right there wherever you have your computer. Join us on the computer at scripturesforamerica.org. And we'll have a scriptural review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth, a current message for you, and give you the opportunity to join with like-minded Christians, to step away from this world for at least just a couple hours, just a short time. And remember what his word says. Remember what the Son of God did for each and every one of us. We'll partake of communion, and we'll take time to do what he said to do, to do this in remembrance of me. And so we'd like you to join us. It is nourishment for the soul. It's not that we have anything special, just the word of God. But just as just as we have to eat to nourish our physical body, we need nourishment for our spiritual body as well. And when we gather with like-minded believers and worship the King of Kings, it is pleasing to him, and it does. It nourishes us. Hope to see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.